All right, EYL Queen Naja, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. So my first question is, how has this journey been for you? I know it's been a short period of time, but it's been a long period of time as well. So you now, you're an A-lister. Everybody knows you. Everybody loves your music. Is it still moments where it's kind of surreal to you, or are you like fully caught up in the moment right now?
Honestly, I never really get to bask in the moment. I'm trying to learn how to. So I can't say it's really surreal because, like, just not right now. Like, it's a blessing, but I'm trying to learn how to just, I'm always, like, rushing everywhere, but I never really just get to, like, bask in the moment. But it's been a journey. I feel like it's been a time where I was super down. I thought everybody forgot about me. But now I'm back here again, and I just bounced back, and I'm happy. So it's a blessing.
Yeah, yeah. So this weekend you're presenting at the awards. Obviously, Mary is performing. Mm-hmm. I know that you're a part of the tour. Can you talk about her influence and what it means to be a part of it?
Mary?
Yeah, Mary J.
First of all, the first song that I ever sang that came out of my mouth was You're All I Need to Get By with Method Man. I was 3 years old. And it's really full circle to just be in this same. First of all, I'm going on tour with her.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I'm really, really excited. And I feel like if she can see something in me to share her stage, then I'm going to be around here for a minute.
Your name, Naja. So I was looking it up. It basically translates to like the new Nigeria. You understand me? Or the music of Naja. Do you find Nigerians or people out there in Africa tap in with your music?
Okay, so my first name is Queen. My middle name is Naja, and it has nothing to do with Nigeria, and a lot of people get that mixed up. My name is Naja because my father's from Yemen. His name was Muhammad Najib, and my mom just, she put an A on the end. So Naja, Najib. So a lot of times, the way she spelled it was like the Nigerian, and I didn't learn that until like on Twitter recently, but yeah, it has nothing to do with Nigeria, but I think it does work for me because, like, when they see my name, they gravitate towards me. And I love Nigerian artists. I haven't been there, but if it works for me, it just works for me. So,
I feel like it's on-the-job training when it comes to success, and especially the music business. And a lot of people make mistakes because there's no blueprint or there's no roadmap to follow. So learning the business side of it, how has that been for you? Have you had mentors that's, like, teaching you the do's or the don'ts? Is it just like experience? How have you learned the business side of music?
Well, I was blessed to have a really, really good support system around me, like a small, solid circle. And I'm learning from that circle. I didn't know a lot coming to this. I mean, I didn't know nothing coming to this industry, honestly. But I'm still learning as I go. It's a lot of things. I've had learning experiences where you have to experience something bad first and then learn from it. So that's just like an everyday thing with me. So, yeah, I'm still learning.
Yeah, so one of the things, especially in business and obviously in music, is collaboration. Mm-hmm. What's the process like for you when you're looking for somebody to collaborate with? Obviously, we know the Dirk and the Big Sean record is incredible.
Yes, thank you.
What's that process like when you're trying to collab with somebody?
So usually, like, I'll build beats from scratch. Mm-hmm. But if I don't, if I like a song, regardless if I build it or not from scratch, I think of a concept to it. I'll go mumble and like some cadences, and then I'll create the words, and I'll say, oh, this person would sound really good on this song. Like, I can hear the voices on there.
Are you're making the record yourself? You're producing it?
You can say I'm partially producing. I don't press the buttons, but I tell them, use this instrument, make this beat, make this cadence. I just don't know how to do all the technical stuff, but I know what I want when it comes to music, and I have a really, really good ear for it. So, yeah. And then I just get whoever I want. I DM them. I don't really have a label do stuff because I like for it to be genuine, you know? Yeah. But if I don't get them, I just wait. I just wait. And if it don't happen, it don't.
What's the future of your brand? Like, we see Rihanna become a billionaire for having her beauty brand. And I feel like, especially when you got like a solid, consolidated community, mm-hmm. you can really start pushing out products. And that's when you really hit your trajectory. So what's the future of expansion for you?
I'm not gonna lie, I do wanna put out some products because it'd be more money in that than the music.
Well, absolutely.
Okay. I just want whatever product I put out to represent me and my brand. I know I really love to be comfortable and I love to lounge around the house. So like one of the things I wanted to do was like onesies, like loungewear. And like I'm big on like hygiene. So like kitty kits, like for the girls. Yeah, kitty kits. Very important. but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll come up with something else later on. But I still like still trying to balance out this life. So hopefully that comes about like later on.
I feel like
I have ideas though.
I feel like the greatest artist, whether it was DMX or Eminem or even Nas, like they always told their life, and you felt their pain. You felt they was going through. And it's a gift and a curse because your fans feel like you're your family, but you're also letting people know what you're personally going through.
Yeah.
So how do you balance that? Because I know that's like, you know, your story. How do you balance that? And is there ever a point where you turn it off where it's like, this is my pain, this is my music, this is my joys, but this is private. I don't want to share
this. You know what? Story of my life. Because I definitely used to overshare a lot, like overshare. I've grown to be a little bit more conservative, but now I think I'm a little bit too conservative. So like, I'm an extremist. I'm either here or here. I'm trying to find like a medium. Cause at the end of the day, the reason why people love me and how I came about was from being transparent and showing my life. But like you said, people think they know you from just like, they think they know you from a 20 minute video, and it's just like, you don't, you really don't. And they have their opinions, and sometimes it could just get so like overwhelming. To where, you know, I start to go into this little shell and I don't want to, but I can't do that because of the industry I'm in. And you got to be out there and you got to be visible. So I just have to find a medium still. I think I'm going to get back on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming back.
That's where I started.
Y'all heard it here. So obviously the Coach's Biggest Night Sunday, presenting. Is there somebody you're excited to see?
I'm just excited to be here. It's not like I'm excited to see everybody.
So let me ask you last, how do you balance? Because, you know, you got family, you got a career, you got a tour, you got a relationship. Do you meditate? Do you take walks? What's your mental health like? You sage? What are we doing?
I just pray, honestly. I grew up in church and stuff. So, like, honestly, I just pray. I need to do a little bit better at that. But to be honest, I still have to find something.
I still have to find something
that puts me at peace. But I know one of the main things is like car rides, studio sessions. That's when I write my music and go to the studio. That's my therapy. I do have a therapist. I talk to a therapist and it helps a lot. But I want to find a hobby. Like I want to find something to do outside of music that I just really, really enjoy. I got to find it.
That's it. Well, thank you. The one last question that I have is, we talk about R&B, and I feel like we're in a good space with R&B right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your biggest R&B inspiration?
Biggest R&B? Oh, that's hard.
Like,
just say one person.
Who is your favorite, all-time favorite?
Whitney Houston? Mary J, of course. Mary J, for real. Monica, and a lot more, but I grew up listening to them, so yeah.
All right,
I would say those are the main three.
We appreciate you coming.
Thank you. Make sure
y'all go check out the tour. Queen Naja, y'all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Here with Joey Badass. Joey, thank you for joining us, bro. I appreciate it. Hold the mic a little closer.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so,
sir.
So we here for BET Weekend.
Because I ain't see y'all with the mics in your hands.
Yeah,
I was like, mic'd up.
So, Joey, you're very interesting to me because you represent a nostalgic era that we grew up on, 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But you also are new school, and you got that. And you're multi-talented. You act, rap. So it's like a gumbo. Where do you get your inspiration from? Like, where do you get your inspiration from? And how do you stay fresh with the times?
Well, God. I feel like everything that I do is a spiritual experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it wasn't for me feeling purposeful in the things that I do, I don't think I'd be able to do them properly. You know what I'm saying? So I would say that's definitely my jump start. You know what I mean? It comes from spirit. It comes from the soul. That's where I find my inspiration. And apart from that, it's just expansion. You know what I'm saying? Wanted to build more for my legacy, for us. You know what I mean? For my people.
Yeah. Award-winning actor.
You said what?
I said award-winning. Yeah. Let's start there.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, you stand out in the Power series. So when did the love for acting come about? Is that something you were formally trained in, or?
I was always into acting. I was in the scene.
Right.
So, I auditioned.
To get into my high school, I went to Edward R. Murrow in Brooklyn. Basquiat went there, Adam Yock from the Beastie Boys, Lil Mama, Joey Badass. And they had a theater program there. I was trying to get into like LaGuardia and stuff like that, but because of my attendance, I couldn't go. Yeah, they're like, nigga, you live in Brooklyn? And your attendance is bad in Brooklyn? And Manhattan? It was like,
nigga, stay in Brooklyn. So I ended up going to Edward R. Murrow, and I was in the theater program for about 2 years. It's kind of like a culture shock for me because it's my first time going to school with like white people and stuff like that. So it was kind of hard for me to keep up. And I ended up getting kicked out. But, you know, music was always my first love.
So yeah.
I always had music like just here with me. And I learned quickly that, you know, trying to make it as an actor in New York City is like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
So I doubled down on music as my main focus, and I figured that in the future I'd be able to use it as leverage into the acting business, which is essentially what I did.
Let me ask you, man. I know a lot of people utilize like law of attraction, shit like that. And I can tell, you know, you deep into the esoterics, you understand symbolism, the power of it. So I know you tap into the different universal laws of intelligence.
Yeah.
I like the law of confidence or the law of focus. Which one you tap in, you feel me, when you want to go to that next level? Which one is a principle that you apply?
Between the law of focus and the law of confidence?
Whatever law of the universe you utilize.
Well, I'm big on faith. You know what I'm saying? I'm
going to be faith-based. So, like, I got a way of thinking where, you know, you can tell who's praying and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Usually the people who are frustrated with life and, you know, blaming other things, they probably could pray some more.
Mm-hmm.
So like me, like when I really want to double down, take things to the next, I mean, I pray every day off top, but when I really want to double down, take things to the next level, I turn to source, you know what I'm saying? And I turn into my faith, and then that alone fuels everything else.
Yeah.
It fuels my focus, it fuels my confidence.
Yeah.
It fuels, you know, whatever it is that I need to make it to that next level at that given point.
That's the law of belief. Whatever you believe crystallizes and becomes real.
For sure. For sure.
So, acting or rapping, which one do you prefer? Like, what's the number one for you?
I mean, listen, man, I tell people all the time, like, it's like, it's like two women that you love. You know, like, I ain't about to explicitly say which one I prefer, but I tell you this, I couldn't survive without music. You know, that was my first love. That was, you know, my first baby mom.
Forever indebted to her.
Yeah.
But they both make me better for each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm acting for a while, come back to music, it's like a new level of freedom. Cause I'm like, oh, like, I don't, you know, this music, I don't gotta rely on music no more.
Same thing with acting. I go over there and it's like, I ain't gotta rely on this either. So, yeah. You know, they both feed off each other, man. And it's like, I wouldn't trade one for the other.
Yeah.
I need them both.
Yeah.
I need them both.
So talking about the music, the latest project, I know with some delays.
Yeah.
What's the update on it? When are we gonna see, like, what?
So the new album 2000, it's coming next month in July. I actually have the date, but I'm not going to share it yet because, you know, I don't want to have it to change the shit again. You know what I'm saying? Like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just announce the pre-order, and that's when motherfuckers going to know, okay, the date is locked. It's official. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know, I ran into some complications. It's been 5 years since my last album, so it was a lot of excitement and putting this music out. You know, I'm very eager. But, you know, it's also my first major label album.
Right.
So that was really more of the complications that I'm having is understanding the chain of command and the whole system or like, you know, having to have everybody on the same page and things like that. You know what I mean? Like, whereas when I was independent, I just pressed the button. Like, I'm ready. If I say June 17th, it's June 17th. That's when I'm going to upload it. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things that was out of my control, but listen, when I'm on that stage, it's just Joey Badass. So I ain't got no time to point the finger at nobody and anything. Like, I just take accountability. It's coming soon, though. I can't wait, you know. Shout out to everybody who's waiting and been patient. Appreciate y'all.
And you got out in front of it, too. That's the power of social media. As soon as you knew it was a delay, you hit everybody up on IG. It's going to be a delay. And now they know.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
for sure. I feel like the game needs Joey Badass, mostly because I think, you know, I do high-level conversations. I feel like your music high-level. And plus, it's in a lane where it's a lot of shit that's out there, but it ain't nothing that allow you to kind of, like, you got a masculine energy. You feel me? And I think you bring that to the game. And, you know, the music is high energy, but you be talking about something. What you sure. believe that you represent in the game, though, as Joey Badass?
I think I represent a call to higher consciousness. You know what I'm saying? I represent open-mindedness. I represent unity. And I represent, you know, yeah, just broader thinking, man, higher level shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, we about expansion over here, you know what I mean? Like, my whole experience as a musician, as an actor, I've seen them try to marginalize us as a people, as a culture, and, you know, I'm here to double down on the fact that we oceans, we ain't swimming pools, you know what I mean? We vast and unpredictable, you know what I'm saying? And there's no limitations to what we doing, so.
My last question, from a business standpoint, you being independent, going to a major, what made you do that? And how has it changed as far as the business dynamics as being an independent artist and being on a major label?
First of all, great question, you know, because my whole foundation is built on independence. You know what I mean? That's like my call to fame right there. So my decision on going with a major was me getting to a point in my career where I created enough leverage, where I was able to find a partner and be able to ask for the things that I want and that I deserve. Where, you know, it didn't slight me. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't giving up the lion's share or anything like that. So, you know, and also as independents, as creatives, there's but so much we could do until we reach a glass ceiling. It's like being a painter. You could sell all your artworks right out of your photo studio, but eventually it's just word of mouth. Whereas you go partner with a gallery or something like that, and it's like now your works is getting out there some more and shit like that. So that was kind of my decision making, and also like having an escape plan. You know what I mean? Like I ain't major forever. Two albums and I'm out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Are you studying Web 3 any?
You said what?
Web 3. Where?
No, I'm not too big on the Web 3 NFT game. Like, you know, I like to live real life.
Just like utilizing the platform. Because when I think about independent artists, that's going to be the best platform, the blockchain.
Word.
You understand me? It's going to expand what you're going to be able to do. It's basically going to allow you to circumnavigate having a label, because you're going to be able to take those same things they got in operation and automate it.
For sure.
You feel me? So
for
not sure. NFTs are just one phase of the blockchain, but the new iteration of the internet will allow the creators to be able to own it and take advantage of it.
Word up. Well, I mean, you know, to be honest, I got to catch up a bit. You know what I'm saying? I got to catch up a bit, like, pandemic, I'm out here living real life, you know what I mean? I got my baby daughter at home. I haven't really been diving too much into it, you know what I'm saying? But I'm with you on that, but I appreciate that.
But my last thought, because as you're talking, who's your biggest music influence not named Jay-Z? Because when I'm hearing you, I got a guy in mind. I'm
you
like,
know I was going to say Jay. You know
I know that.
You know.
So I'm like, yo, I feel like there's a Rakim influence here.
For sure. I love Rakim, you know what I'm saying? For me, what I love about Rakim is more like the energy and the spirit and the embodiment of just, you know what I'm saying, being high level and being, like, focused and on your dean, you know what I'm saying, and not having it's about integrity over success, you know, because that's what I value, you know what I mean? So, yeah, for sure. But I was...
Apart from Jay, I got to give it to, like, Nas.
I can see the Illmatic, early Illmatic Nas. Yeah. I can see that. I can see it.
You know, that's my big vote for real.
Yeah,
like I'm grateful to have that relationship with him. You know what I mean? Like I literally call him and shit. And,
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks for coming over.
Neo, welcome. Yes, sir. Welcome back, brother. First of all, this is a reunion. Last time we saw you was in Vest Fest. VIP night, tore the stage down. So I want to formally thank you for that, man. That was dope for me.
I had a great time, brother. Indeed. Appreciate y'all having me.
Nah, no problem, man. So you, as like a legacy artist at this point, which is crazy because I grew up on your music, so now it's like you're a legacy artist. How do you maintain your relevancy in almost, what, 20 years in the game? 15?
We almost at 20. Yeah, we almost at the 20 mark. You know what, man? For me, it's always been about acknowledging the trend but not following it. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of these young cats don't realize that trends are meant to come and go. And if you attach your artistry, if you attach yourself to that trend, once that trend leaves, you kind of leave with it. You know what I mean? So I've always tried to attach myself to things that aren't going anywhere. The sound going anywhere. Sound of a guitar is never going anywhere. Love as a feeling and as an emotion, as a movement, that ain't going nowhere. It might not be the most popular thing right now because, you know, it is what it is. But it's never going to go out of style. There's never going to be a time where it's like, we don't need love. We always need love. We will forever need love, and we will forever need love songs. And as long as that's the case, Neo will forever be around.
Yeah. I think I'm glad you said that because that's one of the many talents. You started as a songwriter, became a worldwide success as an artist. But at these times now, do you go back to the original talent? Like, I see there's an artist out there. They can be great. They need that Neo pen.
That may not be the mind state as to why I do it, but at the same time, I'll never not write. You know what I'm saying? That's therapy for me. You know, if it's I've always been better putting it down on paper as opposed to even saying it out my mouth. So, you know, whenever I get into that place where I'm Superman in my family, right? So whenever Superman needs saving, I get in my pad and I'm good again. You know what I mean? That's always been my therapy. So the fact that I can do it as a career and make money doing it, that's just fringe benefit. I'm sane because of it. You know what I mean? Like I'm stable because of it. Yeah.
Do you think we headed to a place where, because R&B is one of those genres that it's forever needed, number
Indeed.
One. We're a very
Indeed.
Lustful society. We ain't got enough love in the culture. Mm-hmm. You understand me? And I think R&B is probably something that we need to listen to even more. And recently we seen Drake and Beyonce do like house music. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in dance music. And a lot of people were saying, well, this was actually a good thing because it's a break from what we get. A lot of music is dark in these days. Mm-hmm. What is R&B or what is the future of music as a therapy for the culture? You understand me? And specifically, like, what's your intention you put in the music as far as what you want to spread?
Well, I mean, I've been about love from the very beginning, or should I say the black, white, and gray of love, because, you know, you can't appreciate the highs of love if you can't acknowledge the lows of love. Like they both exist for a reason. It's like yin and yang, you know. I'm trying to make sure that anybody going through a heartbreak or anybody going through anything like that knows and understands that they're not alone. You going through it, but it ain't just you. I'm going through it too. You know what I'm saying? That's what the song says to them. And what the song also does is give them a soundtrack to what it is that's happening. You know, I'm depressed. I feel bad right now. I need a song that's going to pull me up. I got that for you. Or, you know what I'm saying? I just feel like being in my feelings today is raining. I want to just be in this place. I got that for you too. That's what my music has always been. You know, put the song on and apply it to your life accordingly. That's what a Neo record is.
So when did you... Let me ask you this. As far as balancing business and music, right? A lot of people say they get turned off from creating because they have to deal with the business side.
Mm.
Did you ever have that experience? And
I did.
How has your experience been navigating being a creative and being a businessman at the same time?
So this is a good way to segue into the new album. July 15th, self-explanatory is the name of the album.
I've been writing on this album since 2018. Since before the pandemic. And a lot of the reason, aside from the pandemic, a lot of the reason why it's so long is because I fell into that place where it was like, all right, this is a good song, but is it rhythmic enough? Is it pop enough? Is it urban enough? And then I'm looking at the format. It's like, all right, the sound has changed. I ain't getting no younger. Do I fit still? Is there even a place for me in this still? I fell into that place and it took a major, major toll on just my creativity. I couldn't write nothing, like, because I'm second-guessing everything I'm doing. I had to finally get to that place where I realized that, man, I've never been in business for the business of selling records. That's not what I do. Record labels sell records. I am not a record label. I'm an artist. I'm a writer. I'm a singer. My only obligation is to put my heart and soul into this music. That's it. And once I got back there, the songs just poured out of me. So I got back to that. I got back to a good place. The business side of this will steal the joy of the side if you let it. Now, at the same time,
to do this and not know that it's a business is just stupid. Like, that's just ridiculous.
No one understands that there is millions upon millions upon hundreds of millions of dollars made with this. So you can't ignore the fact that it's a business. But what you don't do is take the business into the studio. You don't go in the studio and go, all right, today we're going to write a pop song, y'all. Because it'll never happen like that. You got to go in the studio and do what your artistic integrity lets you do. And then let the people that do that figure out where it's supposed to fall. Okay, you did a pop record today. All right, well, I know where to take this. You did a rhythmic record today. All right, I know where to take this. In the creative process, it's just about creation, bro. It's just about art. Let it be about that. Let that be your joyous spot. And then let the people that do that do that. At least that's been my philosophy of it.
Yeah. So you said, I mean, it's only around 20 years. Like Charlie said, we grew up on the music.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has changed.
It has.
And so I wonder now, is there artists that you listen to that inspire you, the music, and say, like, I like this. All right, I can hear where they're going with it. Or when you're getting in that process of writing for the new album, did you go back in time to 80s or 70s sounds to be like, I needed that to inspire me?
I can honestly say a little bit of both. A little bit of both. Because, again, you can't ignore what's happening right now. Like, you can't call yourself a music person and ignore what's happening right now. But at the same time, you also can't try to transform yourself into what's happening right now because it's happening right now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm 42 years old. There's some things that are being said in some of these records that is just going to sound stupid if I say. I'm aware of that. I acknowledge that. And I ain't even mad at that. You know what I'm saying? I'm always going to give you the metaphor that's going to make you think a little bit to get to where you got with that. You know what I'm saying? That's always going to be my thing. But at the same time, I can't say that it's not young cats out here doing it. Like the boy Blue, he's making moves. I can't acknowledge that. Lucky Day, making moves. Giveon, making moves. I can't ignore that. You know, so I listen to these cats and I kind of, I'm almost kind of taken back to my beginnings. Like, I know where you at right now.
Yeah.
I know the excitement you're feeling right now.
When
you know
I heard
what
Heartbreak Hotel, I'm thinking, like, that's one of them records.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to that boy, by the way, yeah. Giveon. I love his tone. He don't sound like what's going on today.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
I kind of got a two-part question. First part is, do you recognize the metaphysical aspect of music? You understand me? Like, you know, we water beings, so music as a frequency entrains you. Like, yeah. Once you put emotion into something, that mm-hmm. gets stuck into a person as they listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a person may listen to your words and your voice and your energy 1,000 times. They may listen to our podcast or media once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? Do you recognize that power metaphysically that music has as you're going into it with that intention? And then two, do you plan on, in the future, utilizing, like, NFTs, Web3, blockchain, to really monetize your music in a different way to go direct to consumer?
Two parts. So, yes, I'm definitely aware of that. I'm definitely aware of music's power. You know, sound is frequency. Frequency is vibration. And all of these things affect us, affect ourselves, affect us on the inside. It ain't just I listen to this song and I like it. It's I listen to this song and it does something. It affects me. I get goosebumps or whatever the case may be. It's because of vibration, frequency. Things. So I'm very aware of how powerful that is. I'm aware of how some cats have used it the wrong way. You know, you put a frequency in your record that makes people addicted to it, but it's not feeding them anything. It's just creating craving. Like that's almost backwards. I just crave. Well, what do you crave? I'm trying to get you the music that's going to get you to crave the right thing, that's going to get you to crave that thing that's going to make your cells move the way they need to move. You know what I mean? That's what I'm always shooting for. And as far as NFTs and all of that stuff, I'm definitely in that world. Not as heavy as I would like to be. And it's mainly just a standpoint of sitting still long enough to get the information, to gather the knowledge. But I see what that is. I see the potential in that. You know, right now, NFTs is something that you can't even touch. You know, it's intangible. But in a minute, you about to see houses as NFTs. You about to see whole records as NFTs. Like, it's about to, that's where we about to go. I see it happening.
So last question before we wrap. I want you to tell the people about the new music.
Yes, yes.
You know, like I said, I grew up on it, the old music,
uh-huh.
but I'm looking forward to the new music. So what can we be looking forward to on the new project?
Copy that. So Self-Explanatory is the name of the new album. I called it that simply because the music speaks for itself. It doesn't really need much explanation. On top of the fact that I've been here almost 20 years, I feel like y'all should know me at this point. I shouldn't have to explain who I am, what I am, what I do. On this album, you will find acknowledgement of what's going on right now with my spin on it. But you will also find, you know, that song for the diehard fan, that person that's been there since Stay. and the vibe and energy that they look for. I'm always trying to please all the people at the same time, and I know that that's virtually impossible, but damn it, I'm going to keep doing what I do for who's listening and who cares, and that's what it is, brother.
Favorite Neo record? Put you on the spot.
I mean, So Sick is up there, but Sexy Love, probably. Sexy Love. So Sick.
Good taste.
Miss Independent.
Indeed.
Another great one.
Indeed. That's my shit. Appreciate that love. Romp and Shop. Come on, man.
She gonna steal my heart. Ain't no...
It's certain songs that made me think I could sing. And So Sick is that one. You feel me?
That's when you know it's a good record.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Like, you singing like,
I'm feeling like, you feel me?
I might sound good right now. Somebody call Neo for me.
All right. And I'm gonna throw one back at you. Best song that Neo wrote.
I don't know. Test your knowledge a little bit.
You wrote for Beyonce. There's a couple. You wrote for Beyonce, right?
Of course. You got one? How about this? I thought we saw one of the guys perform that record last night.
Last night?
I wasn't there.
Damn.
Let's rephrase. You saw the winner.
Oh, talk then.
You saw the winner.
That Irreplaceable.
Of the verses, sing the song.
No, you got the Mario joint too.
It's irreplaceable, man. It's not replaceable, man.
Let me love you. Irreplaceable.
Irreplaceable. Bro.
Wow. Which one is your favorite?
Damn. I mean, they both equated to really quality Christmases. I will say that. Really good Christmases off of both of those records.
Still to this day.
To this day. Yeah, my kids love those songs. If I had to choose one over the other, I probably Irreplaceable, only because it was a learning experience for me. You know what I mean? Like, I wrote the song with the intent to keep it and learn that certain lyrics, the person delivering the message matters sometimes. For example, I can have another you in a minute. Matter of fact, she'll be here in a minute from a man. Sounds a little mean, a little misogynistic. But for a woman to say, I can have another you in a minute. Matter of fact, he'll be here in a minute. Every woman in the world is going to rally behind her like, that's right,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah.
We ain't taking no empowerment now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I learned that lesson through that record.
We was like, yo, who wrote this?
That's a super fact.
I did, yeah.
Yo.
And baby daddies and boyfriends Michael all over the world hate me for that record.
Michael Jackson or Prince.
I can't. I can't. I can't even do it, bro.
You
got
to favor somebody. You got to lean to the side on one person or another.
So I learned how to sing. Mimicking Michael Jackson.
Okay, there we go.
I learned
go.
How to perform mimicking Prince. And I've had moments with both of them before they passed. I got to actually write with and for Michael Jackson. We didn't get to record the records. But, like, talking to this man regularly and him critiquing the records that I'm writing for him, like, that was an experience. And then Prince, my Libra Scale. It's probably my worst performing album. And I was bummed out. I was messed up about it. And we got invited to Prince's Grammy party that year. I remember I was psyched about that because he was Prince fan. So we go in, he's on stage, he's performing with he sees me, he puts his guitar down, beelines for me, and comes to me and says to me, yo, Libra Scale was a good album, and don't let anybody tell you different. Back up on stage and finish what he was doing. And that for me in that moment, because I was beat up. I was beat up. Prince liked the album. To hell with anybody that didn't like it.
Yeah, look.
To hell with all y'all.
I gotta give you credit before we go. Your versus battle, probably the most slept on, but absolutely classic.
Appreciate that.
Classic.
It's part of the reason I was there last night. There's some things is in the works. We're having some discussions. Yeah, about some possibilities.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's.
We're talking about it. We got to see your head.
You know
we got to see Jonte.
Why y'all are here?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I was to do it again.
Yeah.
Who?
Who I want to see you against?
Because that's the main thing right now.
I'm gonna
do
something that nobody would expect.
No, you go first.
I'm gonna say Jamie Foxx.
Oh.
I'm gonna say Jamie Foxx.
I like that actually.
That's
I'm actually not mad at that.
Unexpected.
I like that.
I mean, star power.
I got
star power.
Who you got?
Genuine.
No. You can't say no. That's his.
How you gonna say no?
You can't say no.
I want to mix it up. I mean, Jamie Foxx was such a good answer. I wasn't going to top it.
I think you and Maxwell.
We'll mix it up.
Maxwell?
That's a powerhouse.
If we were talking just an R&B battle, I think that might be a move. I think it might be a move.
Oh, so you're going.
But if I pull out any of the pop records,
you can't do the pop records with you.
I can't do none of the pop records.
And that's why Jamie Foxx would be good. Because he got rap.
Because he got 20 of them things.
Yeah, he got 20. Jamie?
20 of them?
Dude, Jamie?
He got features.
20?
No, he got 20.
Including features, yeah. Yeah. Oh. We got,
see, he ain't got 20,
see, that's,
right?
That's when you know the conversation.
This is going to become a whole nother.
No, we're going to be here all day.
All
right, here we are. Radio Room. BET Weekend. The Colts' biggest night is upon us. Got Avion Crockett, man. The legend himself, man of many talents. Thank you for joining us, my brother.
Thank you for having me, man. Come on, man. Y'all all legends right here. So to sit down right here, to be included in this conversation and this couch, it means I did the work.
Absolutely. So,
I feel like you reinvent yourself and you use things that's trending to reinvent yourself. So we got to talk about this Versus. When did you decide, okay, I'm going to remix this, flip it, and did you think it was going to go viral? Like, some of these verses, I don't watch the verses. I watch his recap.
The after verses, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's a must-see.
Yeah.
Listen, and shout out to my brother Spice Adams, man. Like, without him, it wouldn't have had the same pop. We connected and just did it organically. But to your point of reinvention, I want to talk about that for a second because we're in a room full of artists, right? And 20 years ago, this same type of room existed, and it was a whole new set. It's a whole different set of artists. They come and they go. I don't purposely jump on something that's trendy because I'm like, it's gonna be viral or it's gonna. I just live in today. I live in the now, and I create from a now space. And so, if I always stay in that now space, I'm always in what the current water flow is, as opposed to like creek water or like pond water. It's not dead, it's not stagnant. So you'll never see me talking about what I did last year or 10 years ago. So I try to stay in that flow of that. So that helps me reinvent like skin cells. Like it just gradually does it naturally, organically, as opposed to trying to do it. You're not gonna see me bleaching my skin to try to get fresh skin. It just does it on its own.
Don't do that.
The guard will be highly disappointed in you.
I would be.
You understand what I'm
talking
about?
You lied enough already.
You understand what I'm talking about? Come on, Keys.
What
I represent the light skin coalition with pride, you know? I don't need to get no lighter.
We gotta get together. We gotta get together.
Exactly, fam.
Well, one of the things that I think people don't really give you credit for, maybe they don't know, is how you've turned the business of comedy into an actual business.
A word.
Creating content, licensing it, owning it. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I've always heard not to spend your own money, right? And it made sense at first until I keep getting my tax bill at the end of the year, right? And so I'm like, hold on. I'm sending money to dudes who wasn't with me shooting in the gym. And I don't know what they're doing with that. And it's a lot of that I'm sending out. So it's like, all right, well, the way my business is set up, if I can expense it, if I could draw my expenses versus my earnings at the end of the year, why not invest in my own lifestyle and things that I want to spend that money on before I have to send it over to those guys? And until I fully learn, and maybe y'all could talk about this offline with me, until I learn how to pay $300 like Donald did, in taxes and get the right loopholes legally, I'm gonna go ahead and do my legal version of that, which is I'm gonna invest the bread that I got into my own project. So what I do is, for example, I shot my own stand-up special. HBO, Netflix, none of them was coming knocking on my door. Not to say that they won't eventually, but they didn't really know I was doing stand-up. So I knew an offer wasn't just gonna fly into my doorstep. So I shot my own joint and went and licensed it with Kevin Hart at LOL. That's my brother. Licensed it, got it back, and now we're shopping for a new deal for it. So I already made that money, and I'm about to make money on it again. So that's pretty much my short-term template of how I do things.
Let me ask you, man. During the time of the Versus, you also took some of that same energy and put it towards Kevin Samuels. And rest in peace, Kevin Samuels. He's no longer here, but when you got the news of his passing, you know, because he talked about high value men and, you know, how he spoke upon women. How did that affect you? You understand me and your platform? Like, did you get any feedback on that? And what was your actual thoughts about Kevin Samuels?
The main feedback, because I had to talk about this a couple times, obviously. But the character that I do, Dr. Devin Fontaine, is a mix of people. I used to do this character named Fontaine 10 years ago. About the flamboyant brother that we all know in the hood that ain't comfortable with saying what it really is, right? So I always did this. That's why the voice is so, like, exaggerated and cartoony. That's Fontaine. So the more I got into imitating this therapist guy, because I always called him Devin. It was never straight Kevin Samuels. I started calling him Devin because I didn't really know enough about him. All I saw was a little clips that people would send me. And I was like, all right, let me just play a character that's similar to him that don't really want to be on the line, even though he's trying to help these people. And I just exaggerated it. And the more I got into the voice, it became Fontaine. So that's why it wasn't a direct... Yeah, it wasn't that personal. It wasn't a, like when he passed, it wasn't a direct effect on me. Like, rest in peace to the brother. But we never met. I don't know him like that personally. So, you know, he created a platform of online therapy that I thought was humorous for my character to partake in. So that's really the extent of it.
When we talk about the business of comedy, we talked to Steve Harvey. He was like, you know, when he first started, he never understood business. It was just go and tell jokes. And then he understood the business later on. But we see a lot of comics now on Instagram, but I'm still not sure if they fully understand like that comedy, it's like music business, right? Like comedy's a business. So when did you realize that comedy was actually a business? And what would you say to up and coming comics that have a talent, but they only really know how to like make people laugh?
I knew it was a business from day one. I went to college for business. I have a master's degree in business. So even back then, when I was a broke college student at a HBCU, Fayetteville State University, shout out, I knew that I was going into the entertainment industry. I already had the talent, so I didn't waste my college years taking up theater. And I was like, nah, I know I could do that when I get on the stage. I want to know what these dudes is talking about on these contracts and on these deals. I need to be able to talk to my lawyer and be able to communicate and speak the same language. So I don't know who understands business or not in comedy, but when I look at guys like 85 South, when I look at guys like Desi Banks and Ha Ha Davis, my instinct is that they do know and that they've really created a business model for themselves with the help of Steve Harvey. Because Steve has been an OG to some of those younger guys, to me as well. And yeah, it's really about creating a product and being able to market it and sell it. And if you don't understand as a comedian, as a rapper, as an art, whatever, as an actor, that you are also this, you're going to be waiting for the phone to ring and to be hired, as opposed to figuring out how to package yourself and put yourself on the market to sell and take all the money.
Yeah, so we're here, BET Weekend. The awards are coming up on Sunday. Talk about the importance of having a space where we can celebrate each other, the importance of this weekend. I'm sure this isn't your first. What does this mean to you this year?
I was saying this earlier. Black excellence. We always run to the other side to get validation. And if we could just put aside all the competition and all the bickering and all the nonsense that black people do, namely black men, who don't sit down when we have an issue, who have a difference in, me and this brother don't even have the same religious beliefs, right? But me and this brother break bread. We talk offline. We don't even talk about religion. I just see a brother that I respect, and we just comment on each other's stuff. We uplift. Yo, you good? You straight? Yo, let's talk about so-and-so when we see each other next. If we could just get that unity, that excellence, and understand that we are more powerful together, you know what I mean? For me, that's what I look forward to seeing. I don't want to see another young rapper dead or another. All that energy is something that we need to push past, and I pray that we do. But that's what I'm looking forward to this weekend is to see who shows up in the craziest outfit, you know what I mean? The sparkly shoes, and just has fun, you know, being secure in them and who they are, and that doesn't rub off on, you know, in a negative way to somebody else.
You know, stories is more powerful than knowledge, man, and I think comedians a lot of times get the opportunity to tell stories in a way where you're teaching lessons. You understand me? But at the same time, comedians have been heavily censored nowadays. You understand me? But I think that it's important to allow comedians to go into the dark spaces because that's where you bring people out. That's where you get to have real conversations and we get to push the culture forward. So what's your take on, do you censor yourself in fear of the so-called cancel culture, which nobody actually gets canceled? And then what's the importance of comedians being able to narrate and you know, in the king, the court jester was able to say anything he wanted to. You feel me? He can talk about the king. He can say he's a tyrant and everybody laughs. Right. But that's necessary to decompress and, you know, click that valve of pressure in society. So what's your take on that?
I don't do anything out of fear. I don't respond to fear. I said what I said. At the same time, if you know me as a human being, I'm a very tactful, compassionate guy. I'm very empathetic to people. So I'm never trying to talk about anything on stage or in my humor that's going to make somebody feel like it's affecting who they are as a person or affecting their soul. But there are such things as truths. There's some ugly truths out there that we got to talk about. And I feel like the faster we do that and get comfortable with that, the better we are. My guy, good to see you. The better we are with being able to push past it. And salute to Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, those guys who make it their platform to speak truth. It may not be what everybody likes to hear, but it's what is true to them. Yeah. So
you know, ain't worried about getting slapped, though.
Say again?
You're not worried about getting slapped, though.
You know me, kid. You know what I'm into. You know what I study.
Yeah, that's the wrong brother to run up on. You feel me?
Not to say that I can't be touched, but I touch
funny
back.
Bones.
I touch back. Every man is you know, more able to be touched, but it's how you respond to the touch.
Yes, sir.
My last question for you, like, being a comedian and everybody knows you, you're a very, you know, outgoing person as far as your personality. Do people come up to you, they tell you jokes. Do you ever get tired? Does that ever like, yo, bro, I'm not, right now is not the time.
It's like, yo, when people come up to you, ask y'all money advice all the time.
Look at my portfolio.
It's like, you're like, nigga, I just want to eat a waffle. Like, I'm just here.
Ask me about conspiracy theories of the world. Like,
yeah.
Not right now,
I'm
brother.
Sure you get questions all the time, and you gotta explain the plight of the black man on every trajectory, everywhere you go. Hey, brother. So Keys, let me ask you this. They as say a, that black men are more prone to getting diabetes. Do you think that the diabetes is directly connected to what porn we watch? Because them booties be sweet. And you be like, nigga, I just came to get a haircut.
Black man. Continue to tap into yourself. I appreciate you, though. Man, them good questions. Keep asking yourself that.
Right. Yeah, research. Man. I love that people show the love and they're aware of what I do. But it ain't always appropriate. You wouldn't walk up to Mike Tyson and be like, hey, you a boxer? Punch me in my goddamn face. Right now.
That's a fact.
Please. Would you do that? Could you do that? So, nah, man. I just be chilling.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Man, I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate y'all, man. Much respect to y'all. Like, this is a great conversation I've been waiting to have with all of y'all.
That's love, man. Appreciate you.
My guy.
Let's definitely connect offline. Yeah.
Let's do it. Please do.
All right, so we here. This, like I said, this is what I'm most excited about. My guy Simba. So, I'm a big fan of the music, and the era that we came from is very nostalgic to us.
Yes, sir.
And a few people give me that feeling. I got a chance to meet Benny the Butcher, and I told him that, and Simba. And I don't even know if you know this, but like I be in your comments, like fire emojis.
Yeah.
So my man Abdullah, I'm like, you know Simba. He like, I know him because you repost him all the time.
Yeah.
So, lyrical giant.
Thank you, brother.
So thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
This is like a breath of like fresh air. Like you said, that music that we grew up on, when we heard that sound, it was like automatic. Like, well, what was that?
What's that?
Wait, what?
That was the whole point, bro. It's like, I just was sitting back like a few years ago and I'm just like, I'm trying things. I'm experimenting. I'm doing melody music. Writing pop songs, and APG writing for Scooby-Doo album, and I just had to sit down like, man, who am I as an artist? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And when I think about it, I always go back to my uncles, my mama, you know what I mean? They come from that era, so I'm really a reflection of them, you know what I mean? But I can't just be out here rapping on old beats, you know? It's like, how do we redefine that? You know what I mean? How do we make it current for today? So that's just literally been my goal, is to basically bring back that nostalgic feeling just in today's form.
So, you know, I'm from the Bay. I'm from Oakland. And I know, I always tell people, I'm from Oakland. That's why I'm so well-spoken.
Exactly.
You understand me?
Exactly.
It's a certain energy.
It's in you, not only from the Bay Area.
You understand me? You got to do it a little different. And I feel like that's what I get in your music as well, because it's a lot of sucker shit that go on.
Yeah.
But your music is like anti-sucker.
Yeah.
And you call it out.
Facts.
You feel me? So, but at the same time, you be at your edge where it's like, I'm not afraid to stand right here.
Facts.
You feel me? And I'm going to do it fearlessly.
Facts.
Where you get that from?
Like I say, bro, my mama. You know what I'm saying? Like, my uncles, bro, like, I come from a family, bro, where it's like, I'm supposed to be in jail, right? I was born in jail. My mama had me in jail. My auntie went to jail. My Uncle Ronnie did 10 years in jail. My Uncle Speedy told on my Uncle Ronnie to get out of jail. My favorite cousin went to jail. So it's like, technically, jail was supposed to be part of my story. But I always seen where they would go wrong growing up. You know what I mean? And I'd be like, you know what? I ain't about to sell dope. I might dabble with a little weed here and there to get some money. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't fucking with cocaine. I ain't on that. You know what I mean? I ain't finna just be spinning because somebody punched my little nigga in the face. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to really do something to me to make me want to physically harm you. You know what I'm saying? So I just always put that in the music. You know, it's raw. It's uncut. It's how I feel. Most people are scared to say how they feel. It's just, how you gonna help somebody get through life if you can't communicate what you going through, you know?
I feel like it's a thin line between, like, the type of music that you make is so nostalgic to me, because it's like, Nas my favorite rapper of all time, right?
Shout out to Nas.
And Nas always, he was always like a positive vibe, but he was never a positive rapper. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's still a street dude, but he could always get a message of positivity. Where it's like some of the, like, more, they put you in a box as a positive rapper. Yeah. It's hard to ever get out that box. Yeah. You, I kind of look at like that, like, yeah, like it was written. Like, you know what I'm saying? When I listen to your music and it's like Big Pharma do so more dope than Big Meech. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's messages.
It's a fact though.
But it's vibes. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's vibes. You got the Cartier frames on. It's not ultra preachy.
Nah, I'm,
you do that on purpose or?
I'm front, like bro just said, we front the Bay, bro. You know what I'm saying? We from the Panthers. You know what I'm saying? We gonna have some information, but at the same time, this shit in us, it ain't on us. It's ism, bro. I grew up knocking women, playing ball. You know, I was that nigga in school. I didn't get hot in music and became cool. I was always cool. You know what I'm saying? Before I was doing music. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that has to be shown in the music. And that's no offense to, you know, the spiritual rappers or the conscious rappers, because we need them too. But at the same time, bro, it's a lack of cool niggas, you know what I mean, in the industry. And we all just can't be on this gangster shit and just shooting everybody. It's just like, bro, come on. We all ain't killing everybody, bro. There's more good going on in the ghetto than bad. It's just the bad is more publicized. You know what I'm saying? I'm just here to speak on the good and call out the sucker shit like bro said.
Yeah, so that moment, that L.A. Leakers freestyle, I feel like that's when the world was put on notice.
For sure.
That
for sure.
What was coming.
For sure.
What was the how did that moment feel to you? Like, you've been working at this, yeah, right? And you got this moment to shine, and it exploded. What was that moment that, what did it feel like to you at that time?
About damn time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I've been out here, bro. Bro, I didn't, man, look at my big bro. It's my big bro right there.
Oh, Hurricane.
Yeah.
Oh, Bay Area. So, you know, Bay Area be having a black cloud on it. You feel me?
Yeah.
It's a lot of talent in the Bay, but it don't really get shown to break out.
Facts.
What you think? But now I'm seeing, you know, individuals such as yourself, LaRussell, and I feel like the internet allows you to navigate that black cloud.
For sure.
You feel me?
For sure.
When you was in and coming out of the game, number one, who did you look up to in the Bay Area? And did you feel like being a Bay Area rapper, you was going to have that cloud and not be able to expand more?
For sure, that was the reason I moved out. Like, I grew up on Short 40, Mac Dre, Keep the Sneak, Turf Talk, you know what I mean? Like, I grew up listening to Bay music, but my mom, very business-minded. So my mom was in the real estate early. So she had homes in Texas, Vegas, Atlantic City, and I would always move around as a kid and notice Bay music wasn't being played in these places. And then when I would play it, people wouldn't get it. You know what I mean? The tempo might be too fast or whatever it may be. So when I started doing music, I was like, damn, I want to be the person that keep that Bay authenticity in my content, but still make the sound of it universal enough to where the world could get it. And I feel like in the Bay, the reason we got that black cloud is because we got a limited amount of black people in California. You feel me? So when you go in the South, you got black restaurant owners, black hookah spot owners, black car washes, which gives black music more platforms, right? Over here, we got very minimum of that. So I feel like a lot of artists feel like it's a certain amount of seats at success. Or when somebody else win, it like they took your spot. When it's like, nah, we all could win. We just got to ask questions and communicate with each other to figure out a way to help each other get to the goal.
Yeah. I rock with that.
Your mom was in real estate.
Yeah.
Are you in real, you invest in real estate?
I'm getting into it. I'm getting into it. My mom been on me about it for years. I just been so psycho with this rap, just driven, just tunnel vision. You know what I mean? I ain't want to do nothing else. But now that, you know, my finances is growing and I'm getting a lot better, my mom put me in position to do a lot of shit. I'm actually trying to get a duplex right now. You feel me? So that's definitely something I want to get into. And after my rap career, I want to be an architect. You know what I mean? So I want to design homes and buildings and kitchens and all kind of things.
What it's about. That's what it's about. So obviously, the freestyle goes crazy. The GOAT single's out, going crazy. Shout out to that. We all GOATs.
Yeah.
How have the business opportunities been coming to you? Like, how do people approach you? What's your status? Are you independent? What's coming?
Yeah, so I'm on a major. I'm signed to Atlantic, but I move like I'm independent. You know what I mean? We actually getting ready to start my label. I don't like calling it a label, but that's how most people could understand what it is. But we getting ready to start our company, and it's called Majority Rules. And the whole idea of it is to be a brochure for artists, right? So when artists get this money, when they first get signed, don't nobody tell you what to do with it, right? You just get the money, and it's like, I ain't never had it. So I'm finna go get all the clothes I wanted. I'm finna go knock the bitch I couldn't get 2 months ago. I'm finna go get the crib. I'm finna go eat where I couldn't eat, right? And then you look back 3 months down the line, and you broke. And then you looking at the label like, what y'all doing? Y'all supposed to be helping me get money. When it's like, in all actuality, nigga, you was supposed to take that money and go get an independent publicist. You feel me? Go get a cameraman. Go get a strategic. Go get a digital team. So we want to be the people that sign digital teams, sign creative people, sign producers and songwriters. So when artists get that money, they can come to us and we can break it down. Okay, bro, this is a producer you could work with. This somebody that can help you creatively, and they'll have an infrastructure up under them, and they ain't got to lose so much money in the process of doing that.
Now, I think what you represent is very important. Because like you said, it's like there's a lack of just regular people in the music business. Everybody's a drug addict, or everybody's a killer, but it's like the majority of people aren't like that. And when I hear you speak, you sound sober, and that's something that is rare.
I'm sauced up on the tequila right now, by the way.
But even when I say sober, I just don't mean from drugs. I mean your humility. You just sound like you got common sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother.
A lot of times we talk to artists and it's like, damn, bro, like just speak to me like a regular person. Like,
It's like some of them don't know how. You know what I mean? Like some of these kids, bro, you gotta think. You have a little toot-toot from Jacksonville, Florida, right? And he made a song in his closet with his homies about some issues they was having with some niggas from up the street. And some little suburban kid posted this on TikTok and it went viral. And the world found out about it. And then labels start calling him. They flying him to LA. They throwing him in these big studios. They putting him with the producers. He don't even know what to do. It's all new for him. He ain't never had to sit in front of a camera and talk to nobody. Like I said, I've been popular my whole life. So I had to argue with my teachers. You know what I'm saying? I had to fight with my basketball coach. Like, I'm used to talking to people. Some people in them environments, they not used to talking or telling what's going on. So we can't blame them for that. We just have to educate them and help them navigate through that. But at the same time, niggas got to want the help.
Man, you done been on a lot of platforms, man. Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
People done, like, It's interesting because I feel like, kind of like myself, right? When somebody see me on the platform, it's like something that's not supposed to be there. It's an enigma.
Yeah.
You feel me? And somehow you challenge that and navigate. Like, I feel like we in an era where it's a glitch in the matrix. You feel me?
Facts.
And it ain't even really a question. It's more so about, you know, maintaining that integrity that you got.
Yep.
You understand me? Just along that path, because I can just see the future. Are you growing? You see the brand developing and people really rocking with that, and you creating a whole new archetype that people can follow as a blueprint.
Yeah.
You understand me? People love Nipsey because of what he represented. You feel me? And then you got that same representation.
So half of the shit I'm speaking on and how I was able to find out about this information was from Nipsey. I met Nipsey in 2012 at A3C Fest in Atlanta. And this when the weed cookies had just came out, right? And we was the only niggas with cookies in the Bay. So we got some to the A, right? We was in the club compound smoking. And I feel somebody tap me. He like, hey, bro, y'all got some of that for sale? What y'all smoking? You feel me? I'm like, man, some new shit. I'm like, nigga, I'm a fan of you. I ain't gonna sell you no weed, but we can smoke together. You feel me? We talked it up that night. He gave me his number. He said, man, whenever you in L.A., hit me. I lied to the nigga. I said, I live in L.A. I'll be there Monday. You feel me? He like, all right, hit me. I flew back to the Bay, got in my car, and drove to L.A. You feel me? I ain't have a hotel room, nothing. I just drove out there, and I got to the Grapevine. I was like, bro, I'm in L.A. I just got back. Where you at? 20 minutes later, he sent me an address. He said, I'm at the studio. Pull up. I went to the studio. He had a studio downtown. Went to the studio, and we had a conversation. He gave me this book, The 22 Immutable Laws of Branding, right? And that book taught me how to stop looking at myself as an individual and how to grow my identity as a business. You know what I mean? So everything that I'm speaking on, majority rules, the reason I stuck in that one lane of just rapping, it come from that book that Nip gave me. So rest in peace to the GOAT, man.
That's a fact. So the album is on the way.
Yes, sir.
They always say you got your whole life to make your first album.
Yes, sir.
And 3 months to make your second.
Yes, sir.
Do you feel any pressure for this debut? Right? Because obviously we come up, we know Illmatic, and we know the crowd, and we know these debuts, obviously Get Rich or Die Trying. What's the emotion building up to this moment?
Man, my thing, bro, is just really, it ain't even about like trying to go platinum or like impressing everybody. It's just more so finding where more of my fans are. You know what I mean? Knowing what they like to drink, knowing what they like to eat, knowing where they like to shop. That's really what I'm most excited about. So I don't really feel no pressure because I don't get into other people's expectations of what they feel I should be doing. You know what I mean? And I done this for too long, and I'm damn good at it. You know what I mean? So I know anything I drop, it ain't going to be whack. You know what I mean? So I don't feel no pressure at all. I'm just really excited to get the music out more than anything.
All right, we got a wrap, but it's just one last thing I want to say.
For sure.
It's not even a question, it's a request.
Okay.
I met all three of you now, and I'm glad that I met all three of you. You were actually how I thought you would be.
Yeah.
I would like to see this collaboration, Toby, Benny, and Simba.
Easy call. Benny, my brother. I just was with Benny last night.
That'll be a
I never met Toby, but I'm a big fan of his.
Super cool dude, humble.
Big fan of his. We put it together.
Appreciate you, bro.
We're going to make sure we link back up, too.
Nah, for sure.
I'm going to keep going, bro.
Keep going.
Looking forward to it.
Come on, bro. I like that Swissy.
All right. We here with the lovely Bia. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. Vibes, how you like the BET experience the weekend? This is your first time coming?
This is actually my first real time coming because my first time being nominated. So it's a different vibe.
Yeah, what's that feeling like when you heard the news that something that you created is now being recognized from people that look like us, a platform that's built like by us? Mm-hmm. What's that feeling like?
Well, you know, you watch the BET Awards your whole life. And I've always been an artist that's like, when am I going to get on the BET Awards? When am I going to get on the BET Awards? And now it's just like, it's just surreal. It's like, it really happened. I'm like, it's crazy. God is great, man, for real. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you something a little different. I've been lately saying there's something called soft life, where it's like, because you got a very soft voice, but at the same time, it commands presence. You understand me? And the soft life is about like black and brown women not needing to be displayed like tough. But they can be soft in their feminine energy and like show joy and laughter. You feel me? What you feel about that?
I love that you say that. Nobody ever says anything like that. And I'm glad because, you know, I grew up in an era where it was like the 90s, early 2000s. It was very like Aaliyah and, you know, it was just a different vibe. It was very like fly girls and, you know, just a different vibe. So I've always felt like as an artist, I just want to be myself. And whoever that translates with is who it translates with. And just not have to fit into a mold that people wanted me to fit into when I first started making music.
That's beautiful. I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So how was it like working with Cole? How was it like working with J. Cole?
Oh, Cole is amazing, man. Cole's actually like my favorite artist. To this day, like just because of who he is as a person and like not only how talented he is and the way he pushes his pen, like he make me every time I go in the booth now, I'm like, I got to push my pen for real. Like J. Cole is watching me.
I can't let J. Cole down.
Mm-hmm.
Now that song is dope. The video is dope. The whole London vibe is dope. What inspired that?
It's crazy because we love London. And I think J. Cole actually spent some time in London, too. like extended period of time. So when we had a show out there, so we were just gearing up to go to London, and I was like, all right, I'm getting in my London bag. And I just like to have fun when I'm in the studio, and that's what that song was. I wasn't even expecting J. Cole to get on it, like, to be honest. I just wanted to play it for him.
What about Crypto? I seen you do the collaboration with the Crypto. I actually did like a little remix to it because I love that fact. Because I always say, you know, I say Crypto in your purse, not in your wallet, right?
Yes.
That's how I teach it to women. So what do you feel about the industry of women actually understanding this new age financial technology and stuff?
Well, I just feel like as a woman, the more things you can put your money into, the better. Like, if whether that be real estate, whether that be a makeup brand, whether that be a salon, Crypto. Like, for me, Crypto was so scary at first because I'm like, I don't know much about stocks. But it's actually like a lot easier once you get your foot in and you just try it out. More people need to just like do a little bit of crypto and then take it a little bit and grow. You really good with the crypto. I know about you.
you
got some tips? anything I should invest in while I'm here?
What are you investing in?
Like random stuff, but like stocks that like people will tell me like, oh, you should invest in this. I might go get a couple of those. But really stuff that like I use in the long term. So like I have a lot of like long term stocks and like just stuff like that.
I was about to say, we're not investing in Bottega?
Actually, I haven't.
No. So
they gotta like pay me for me to invest in them first.
You gotta put the name out there. So obviously, being a newer artist, what's it been like for you being accepted in this industry, right? Like I feel like you came in with such a heat rock. It was like, who is this girl? We love her. What's it been like for you just over this past year?
Well, most people know I'm not a newer artist. Like, I've been out for like 10 years. It's just I was like shelled. I had a situation that wasn't right for me for a while. So nobody really knew my music like that. People just knew me, you know? So now I'm at the point where people are able to attach the face with the music. And now they see like, oh, it's a real person.
Yeah, it's been a grind. So 10 years,
yeah.
They didn't know. And now what is that experience with? Like, yo, finally, my time has arrived.
It feels like hard work pays off. And it really just feels like you can never stop the motion. Like, it's always going to be up and down motion. You just got to find your motion.
How is life for you these days? I know, like, once you get up and running, everything comes at you, and so many people hitting you up. It's hard to answer text messages. Like, are you enjoying that? Because I already know you're going through it, because we go through it.
Yo, is this a question he just asked? That's a great question.
You enjoying that, or you feel guilty about, like,
that's the hardest part for me, is like finding that balance of like, I'm so busy. And I love being busy. Like, I would never not want to be as busy as I am now. But it's like finding sleep, finding eat, finding family. Like, those things are not being able to respond right away, because it's like people think that I'm at the disposal of my phone, and I do not have my phone 9 times out of 10. So, you know, people take it way more personal, and they don't know, like, what it's like on this level.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Congratulations on everything.
Absolutely.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
Get into Q. Thank you for joining us, bro. Appreciate it.
Yay. Huh?
I said thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is fun again. I ain't did something like this, you know, in a minute. You know,
yeah.
So even bringing the culture together to do, you know, the politics and the culture is different. You
know, it's fun. So we see you at a lot of different events. What's the power of networking? A lot of times people, artists, entertainers, entrepreneurs, they don't fully understand, like even this room right here, right? Going around, you probably might not even want to do this, but what's the power of networking, getting out there, making relationships, shaking hands, things of that nature?
I think there's a simple beauty in collaboration, you know, however you can imagine that. And I feel like everybody's passion is like a puzzle piece, you know? So everybody gotta like somehow come together. We make the picture, you know? And you never know who you might meet on any given day, you know? And I feel like, you know, obviously bringing people together in one room, it's almost like a free for all, you know? So it's really about what you do with it, you know? You gotta be a people person. You can't be shy. You can't be quiet. You know, speak up, you know, speak your truth, you know, speak your story, you know, and the rest is history.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things you spoke about is passion. And so we've seen you with the music. Obviously, that's one of your passions. But I think people have underrated you in the acting field. That's one of the things that, you know, we've seen you in Power. When did you discover the passion for acting?
I think growing up, being exposed to so much at a young age, and that's just like traveling so many different places, being exposed to so many different cultures, like culture shocks, you know, which ultimately allows you to grow at a young age early, you know, and you're able to really like become a chameleon, you know. And so on top of who I am and my personality, you know, my mom always, you know how they say, boy, you a character, you know, like you say that every day for years, you know, eventually you become one, you know, but still you're you. And she was like, you know, they got a industry for that. But I would never really want to, you know, claim it up until obviously I was growing up and realized, oh, this is a space for me, actually. I thought you had to just be, like, picked, you know. I know you can actually, like, put yourself forward and, you know, really do it, you know, back then when she was telling me. So it's just all about growing, you know.
What about legacy, man? I feel like your family, as a family of brothers, each one of you all have your own individual presence. But collectively, y'all represent a legacy. You understand me? And I was just looking up something as far as, like, you know, y'all do the dances, and dancing is one of the most spiritual rituals known to man. And y'all, like, bring energy and joy at the same time in y'all representation. You understand me? Y'all bring people together. What do you feel like, just as a collective and as individual, what y'all represent for the culture as a family of, like, black men putting out that energy?
You know, family is everything. Not to sound cliche, but, you know, growing up, you realize that importance, and you realize the unity in that and the power in that and where that could go. And then next thing you know, friends become family. And then next thing you know what I mean? It's that effect, and nothing beats that. And I feel like whatever we want to do and apply that factor, it's a no-brainer. You know, it's almost like an instant success. You know what I mean? It's almost founded off love, you know what I mean, and unity, you know, but then spread with love and unity as well, you know. And I feel like that's the real, you know, that's what brings us together.
I feel like you're very talented with the music, acting, do fashion. How do you know what to focus your energy on? Because sometimes you can spread yourself too thin and be like all over the place. So how do you personally know, like, this is what I'm doubling down on right now?
You know, I'm big on timing, you know. And I feel like who I am as a person, who we are as people, we go through different stages and where we want to get off what we feel like, you know, we want to put out, you know, into the world. And I feel like with me doing the acting, me doing the music, sometimes it is hard to juggle. I like to say it balances itself. One doesn't really occupy the other. But then at the end of the day, I'm trying to bring it all together through my music. You're going to hear the fashion in the music. You're going to hear the characters I'm playing in my music. I may can't go directly to that place, but I can, like, perform it in a way where, you know, that character is, you know, that person going through it right now. I'm over that, but I still want you to feel that. I felt like I need to make a song about it, you know. So it is, you know, tough, you know, but then it balances itself out, and that's rewarding. Everybody has their good days, bad days. You know, I feel like that's the time in which almost like how I juggle, you know, the things I like to put my heart into. For sure.
It's funny when Keys, you brought up legacy. So I wonder sometimes, do you feel the pressure? Like, obviously, your siblings, obviously we know the family business, but do you feel pressure to continue a legacy? Or are you more on that lane where, you know what, that is a legacy. I need to create my own stamp in this world. Is there pressure there?
By default, I'm contributing to the legacy, you know, and I feel like that speaks volumes in itself. You know, I'm not running away from the legacy. So therefore, it's only adding to it. And I feel like the extension of my brother and my sisters even, you know, they're going to go into a whole different industry that y'all ain't never seen. But it's not going to be a separate legacy. That's going to be an extension that's going to just continue the legacy overall. So I think that's the beautiful thing about the family. Like you said, the unity and all, and how we really pushing the culture and putting that first, you know.
What about, I seen what Snoop doing with his son and everything in the Web3 space and the NFTs and everything. Do y'all have any projects y'all working on, you understand me, in that space to push things forward?
We definitely been having all type of Zooms and whatnot because the knowledge behind it all, you know, especially with my pops, you know, he really wants to know it, you know, so it's a constant learning experience, I think, for him and all of us, because he comes up with questions sometimes, might stump us, and we got to go back and, you know, find 2-3 different, you know, variations of the answer so he can really understand it. So it's just not one-sided. And I respect him because he's made me, like, step my game up and then learn about the space too, because, you know, it's very, very, very interesting. But until you can really grasp it, you know, that's when he really wants to then step foot in. But we're definitely he done copped a couple, you know, he done copped the Abe, he done copped the Punk, you know, so he's slow but sure in the space. And, you know, we all are, like I said, about to become active. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we wrap, I just want to ask you, what's your plans going forward? What's on your 5-year, 10-year vision board?
Well, you know, with the space of TV, film, and music, I feel like that's a timeless industry that I want to just explore from A to Z. I haven't even activated anything in my artistry, shows, touring, you know, so that's on the lighter end of things. But I want to travel more, you know, and really, you know, step outside the box of, you know, what I've done. I feel like the pandemic taught me a lot, and there's a lot to be done. And it was a learning experience, you know, for me and a lot of people. But I think this next 5 years is probably going to be the most exciting 5 years of my life, you know, especially, you know, I'm 30, third level, you know, so it's almost like a real reset. So that road to 35 is about to be a crazy one.
Yo, it's the coach's biggest night. Who are you most excited to see?
Man, I'm excited to see, because my pops has not let us come to rehearsals. And so I'm excited to see what
all
my pops got. You know, because he's in on some and he's not in on some. So, yeah. But we ain't in on none, so.
Let me ask you last question, because your pops is interesting. He stays connected to what's going on. And I think I seen him one time. It was somebody that was popping. He was like, well, I don't know about them. You understand me? What's that process like of making sure, like, do y'all bring people to him, his attention, to make sure, like, yo, you got to stay interconnected so you don't lose grip of this?
Absolutely. I like to say I bought him Drake before Jay Prince bought Drake Dwayne. He didn't get it. But beyond that, it's all about timing, you know, because sometimes he could be having a great day, and you show him something and he like it, and it could be a bad day. You show him something great and he just not be in the mood for it. But it'd be something just as great as you need to hear. So I think we're just consistent on what we're passionate about, you know, putting in front of him. We know we ain't about to bring him no BS. Or he knows we ain't about to bring him no BS. So he tries to take that into consideration first. Like, this ain't like, oh, listen to my mixtape. It ain't one of those. It's like, look, it's a reason I'm bringing this to you, Pops. And I feel like he respects that. So we always on him. You know what I mean? He on us, too. You know what I mean? He be putting us on, like, yo, you know this person, and we'd be like, wow, he beat us. He found him first.
Yeah. No, that's what's up. Because I work with my pops. Mm-hmm. Like, we'd do video content together, and the people love it. And just that demonstration of, like, a son being able to work with their father, it's like legacy in the present.
Yeah.
You understand me? Not like, let's remember what happened, but, like, I think that's probably one of the most powerful demonstrations y'all have as a family.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to promise to continue to keep that going.
Most definitely.
That's what it's about.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you for the time.
Yes, sir.
We've met a few times in passing.
Yep.
And one thing I'll say, your humility is definitely infectious. Mm. You just kind of get a vibe for a person.
That's a fact.
And every time that I've met you, you've just been super humble, super down to earth, super relatable. And that's something that, you know, we appreciate. So
I appreciate y'all. Yeah, yeah. For sure. We're going to have many more run-ins too. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Once again, respect y'all. Yeah.
To Taraji P. Henson,
yes.
Thank you for joining us. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
So, an icon in the game, a true legend. How have you been able to navigate Hollywood and stay relevant for almost, what, 20 years now?
Mm-hmm. I know it's difficult. A little over 20 years. I haven't gotten rid of my real ones. I still have them. I have an incredible family that keeps me grounded. And I just understand what this is about. Like, this art is bigger than me. It has... Like, God gave this gift to me to share with the world and change and touch lives, and that's what it's about. So for me, it's not really about the vanity. I mean, I like to be cute and stuff like that because I'm a girly girl, but at the end of the day, I understand my purpose and I know why I'm doing what I do.
Yeah, so let's talk about why we're all here. BET Awards.
To celebrate us.
To celebrate us, and they got the right person hosting.
I think so.
Yeah, so this is not your first time hosting an event.
Uh-uh.
What can we expect from the show this weekend?
Y'all gonna love this year's theme. So last year we focused on the queens, but you know, we ain't nothing without y'all. So this, yeah, because
I noticed, like, a lot of times we like to make little jokes and stuff about the men, and I'm like, we can't do that. We, you know, they get beat up on enough in the world, right? So what we gonna do here is celebrate y'all. We're celebrating you, lifting you up, those that came before, those are here now, and just making Abby, sending you away with some hope, because this world, looking for another country to move.
I feel like that's perfect, because I feel like that's the balance. Like, I was talking with Bia about this earlier. Some young black women put me on called Soft Life, where women representing themselves softer instead of the images of women having to be hard and tough. And it's like, no, you deserve to just laugh and be in your joy. And I feel like by lifting up men, they stand in that position so that women can be soft as they want to. You understand me? What you feel about that? Because I feel like that goes into what you do with mental health.
Well, you know, we are all carrying generational trauma that has been passed down to us that we're not even aware of. And until we get the help and the healing that we need, we will be operating dysfunctionally until we pinpoint our past traumas. And a lot of that stuff, we don't even understand, because it's just, like I said, it's been handed down. Like, I wondered one day, I'm really claustrophobic. I don't like being in tight spaces. This was before COVID. Now I really don't. Like, I'm crazy. And I'm like, get me out of here. But I'm very claustrophobic. And I remember I had to play a runaway slave. You ain't a star unless you played one. I remember they had to put me in this little compartment under a wagon, a horse wagon, and I just remember my body convulsing. That's not speaking on anything that I've experienced in my lifetime. That was clearly generational trauma from slavery. Because what space have I been in to provoke that kind of feeling, you know? So my point is that in things like the things that black people have, and this is what makes us so beautiful, because you can oppress us, you can kill our sons, you can take our children from us, take our husbands from us. Guess who we gonna always tap into? Joy. We gonna find it. And that's who we are. And I love that about us. And it's unfortunate that we are oppressed, but that's the reason why we are, because nobody can tap into this joy like it's in us. No matter what you try to do to us, we gonna make you feel better. That's a gift that we have, you know? And I think the enemy is mad.
Let me ask you this. We at the BET Awards weekend. Yes. You're hosting. How important is it for us to support BET Awards, Black Awards, as opposed to boycotting, complaining about other awards and always saying that we're left out, we're not recognized? Like, instead of focusing our energy there, how important is it to focus our energy here?
It's very important to focus our energy on us, because we all we have, but at the end of the day, we all we need. Like, that's why I did my deal with BET. I'm sick of begging and can you please, this story, they need. When I brought my first story, Queenie, the godmother of Harlem, that nobody knows about, but you know about Frank Gaston, you know, I'm not Frank,
Lucas,
and you know about, Bumpy Johnson, yeah. But you don't know they came from her, yeah. And she didn't even sell drugs. So when I took this story to BET, I shopped it all over town. Nobody wanted it, and I'm like, that's because they don't really want our stories. You know, they really don't. If the money's not, they don't see numbers, they don't see how it can make them a profit, they don't care. And for me, I don't really care about the numbers or the money. I care about the story, because some little black girl, some little brown boy needs to see themselves, you know, and needs to know this story. We need to know our history. They already taking it out of school.
Yeah.
So that's why I side with BET, because I'm sick and tired of begging, and we don't need to beg. Look at where we are. We have all the about. Why are we still begging and worried about what the Grammys and the Oscars and all of them are doing? They never wanted us there anyway.
That's it. That's the freedom we're talking about. So at this point now, is that more of the focus, writing stories that are authentic to us, as opposed to acting in stories that, you know, we're being hired to do?
That's our production company. You do what you got to do to get where you need to be, and then you start making your own choice. You start being a boss. And so that's, you know, I'm at the position now where I create my own doors to open. I create my own scripts. Yeah. I create jobs for other people. So I hope that's what everybody's paying attention.
Yeah, but they're going to watch you do it.
I hope
and
so.
And so it becomes an inspiration.
Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, the last one was yours.
It wasn't a question, just wanted to give you your flowers, because I love what you're doing and everything. You show your exercise, you show your mental health journey, you show your joy, you show the ups and downs of the pain. I think you showcase like a real person.
Oh yeah.
You understand me? It's not one side, and I think that people need to see that. Absolutely. You understand me? And so not like, that's what I'm saying, it's not a strong black woman, it's a soft black woman. Mm-hmm. You understand me? And in that softness is your power, so I appreciate you.
Thank you. And I'm not afraid to be vulnerable because that's where the strength is.
Yeah. Knowing I'm weak is when I'm really being strong.
Huh?
I said, no, when I'm weak is when I'm really being strong.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you're not afraid to identify it.
Yeah.
And I need you to write me in a movie. My character ain't never been in a movie. You feel me?
You ain't never seen it. Like,
I got to shoot my shots. You feel me?